Welcome to The Fighter with Chris Sims. I am Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. We're always fighting for things like lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. That last part I mentioned is super important when it comes to our discussion today. Wait, first, if you haven't done so yet, could you please do me a big favor? Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and share it with your friends. Okay, getting back to the point here. If you can't trust what you're hearing from journalists and your news media sources, then how are you supposed to hold the government to account? How are you supposed to write to your MP? How are you supposed to make an informed decision when it comes to the next election? How can you actually energize your neighborhood to get out there and door knock if you can't trust the information you're getting? Which leads us to the critical importance of journalism and censorship in Canada. In Canada, the government is tightening a vice on us. The vice from back in shop class, okay, it's attached to your workbench, and you spin it and spin it and spin it as it gets closer and closer and closer and tighter and tighter. On one side of this vice is the fact that journalists are being paid by the government. I know, even 10 years ago, say 15 years ago, this would have been unthinkable. If you had approached any of my old salty news editors and said, hey, boss, we should go on the government dole. We as a newspaper or a radio station or a TV station, we should be funded by the government. He would have laughed me out of the room and said, go cover traffic. Go get some work done. Go find a story. But now it's become the norm that huge chunks of the mainstream media in Canada outside of the CBC, huge chunks of the mainstream media are paid by the government. It's wild. The great researchers and journalists at Blacklock's Reporter, who are not funded by the government, they're estimating that per media company employee now, if you layer in all the funding and subsidies and tax credits and all that stuff, it adds up to around $27,000 or $30,000 per employee. That is astonishing. So we've got government-funded media on one side of this vice. On the other side of this vice is censorship, okay? Government controlling what you can hear, see, and share online. Now, of course, that government censorship usually shows up in a velvet glove. It's only to make sure that you're getting Canadian content and you're listening only to Anne Murray, and you're only eating beaver tails with maple syrup on it. It's all for Canadian content, folks. What about the unintended consequences, making it so that you can't actually find that fire brandy type podcast that you really like listening to? What happens if all of a sudden that independent media organization that you trust is super hard to find in your streaming services? Isn't that a form of government censorship? Isn't that then repressing information? This last part is super critical, especially for those of us here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, because one of our mandates is to hold government to account. Well, if you have this ever-tightening vice of the government paying mainstream media on one side of things and government censorship suppressing information, probably that's critical of government, okay, on the other side, how are you supposed to know what the government is doing with your money? What the government is doing with the firearms confiscation? How are you supposed to know? That's why it is so important that everyone, it doesn't matter actually if you like, if you prefer to listen to more left-wing organizations. Hey man, if you want to listen to Canada Land, okay, fill your boots. They do some serious documentary work. We'd prefer you, of course, to watch things like Juno News and to follow the Taxpayers Federation, to watch Rebel, all those independent media. But you know what? What fundamentally matters is a free press. And free press means free from government control, influence, and funding. What's going to happen going forward when it comes to things like podcasts and independent news media, programs that you're probably watching right now on some form of a streaming service. Yeah, because the CRTC is coming out with some new regulations, and they're busy assuring everyone that there's nothing to see here, folks, which is usually a good indication that there's a lot to see. What's going to happen going forward when it comes to these regulations? How is it going to affect your ability to watch the programming you want? Let's find out. I'm delighted to be joined now by Peter Menzies. He is, of course, the former longtime editor of the Calgary Herald and the former vice chair of the CRTC. And when I need an update or a check-in on the state of journalism in Canada, I go and read his Substack, or I read him on X. So go check out both of those streams. Make sure you subscribe to Mr. Menzies' Substack. It is a wealth of information, because even if you aren't a journalist, you want to know what is going on in Canada and who's controlling the flow of information. Thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
You and I were chatting back and forth a little bit on the latest regulations coming out from the CRTC, which is, for lack of a better term, kind of a wing of the government that regulates what you can hear and see typically on television and radio. But nowadays, I guess they change the century and stuff on us. And we've got the internet and we've got streaming services. A lot of people were telling me, Chris, don't worry about it. This is not going to alter what you can see, hear, and share online. Nothing to see here. This is just going to put more maple syrup-based shows on Netflix and on streaming services. What is your take on this?
It gets pretty complicated. First of all, the CRTC is supposed to be an independent administrative tribunal. That it's supposed to be arm's length, but as someone once told me, sometimes the arms can be pretty short. So just to kind of keep that in for context, the what the CRTC has done recently is come up with a new definition of Canadian content, which seems to have satisfied most of the stakeholders being involved. But in my view, it's just they've just done a good job of dividing up the pie. My thoughts on it have always been that the concentration should be on growing the pie, not necessarily just dividing it up, and that the pie should actually taste good and be appealing to consumers, which is what ultimately all public bodies should be serving. That's not always the case with some of the organizations. I don't think we're going to find out more in January, when the CRTC comes out with a sort of the second part of its decision. And that's going to be more about funding, and or this most recent decision, second part of this most recent decision, funding, and probably what will be known as visibility of Canadian content within streaming services. And that means, for some reason or another, people haven't been satisfied with your ability to go to the search tool and type in Canadian. Because lots of Canadian content is on Netflix, for instance, and others, if you just type in Canadian and do that. So the problem is, when you try to elevate one thing, you suppress something else. So the things that you maybe don't like will become more visible, could become more visible eventually on your screen, and the things that you do like could be suppressed. And it gets pretty complicated in terms of trade matters after that. So, and probably inevitably, it means the cost of your streaming services will go up.
Are you at all concerned that something could happen similar to what happened with Facebook? So still today, as we're recording this, if I wanted to try to share what would be considered to be a news media link on Facebook, on Meta platforms, I would get this little pop-up saying, you know, due to government, blah, 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 we can't do this. Now, for people who don't know the background quickly, it started with the government. And originally, if I'm not mistaken, it was the print guys that were saying, hey, like, you know, we want a little bit of this money. If you post a link to our work, we want to be compensated for it, etc. Then a whole bunch of other media got involved, including the CBC, I will point out. And the government, on behalf of said media, approached these companies like Google and Meta and said, hey, next time you post a link, you're going to have to pay a fee. And Facebook said, no, thanks. We're not doing it anymore. So that is why you can't see news on Facebook. Are you concerned, Peter, that some of these big companies will look at the size, the small size of the Canadian market, and say, this is not worth dealing with Canadian bureaucracy and the CRTC, and we're just not going to offer our services?
I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's likely with the next one, because the CRTC may be conscious of that. This is different dealing with streaming companies. For the CRTC, traditionally, it's dealing with cable companies and cable carried broadcasts and broadcasters and over the air. They had no place to go. Whatever the CRTC's rules, whatever rules the CRTC came up with, they pretty much had to follow. They had to adapt in some fashion or just go out of business, but very few would do that. Streamers can just leave. Yeah, the market is not that big. Now, Quebec is trying to do a similar sort of streaming act of its own, which is just wild, right? I mean, they've actually just included user-generated content, for instance, in their within scope of their bill, which is Bill C9, I believe, and 109, I think, in Quebec. So that's crazy, because they're focused on original French language content, which means not dubbed. Like, we can all go and, you know, choose which language we watch Netflix or anything in,
yeah,
the whatever, but that's not enough. They want original French language content. I can't see BritBox hanging around for that, right?
Can you imagine?
That's not what BritBox does, right? BritBox is, you know, quiet English, comedies, dramas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Peter, if they just occupy Normandy again, they'll be able to manage all of this. They'll just have French-British programming. It'll be fine.
Right. And so there's a big jurisdictional issue coming up there between Quebec and Quebec creating its own CRTC and the feds. But if you go too far, in any case, some of the companies can just look at it. Canada, frankly, I mean, as an Anglophone market, it's still less than 35 million people. It's still, if you're worried, as in the Facebook case, the Meta case, if you're worried that succumbing to Canada's regulation is going to cause you a global problem, because these are global companies, and that's really why Meta did it, because if they went along with what Canada was doing with news links, every country in the world was going to do it. Right. Everybody was watching Canada, right? And Canada was really proud. Everybody's watching us. And now everybody's looking and saying, like, thank God we're not Canada. And didn't get suckered into that. It's possible. I don't think it's likely, but with what Quebec's coming up with right now, there'll be pressure on the CRTC to sort of replicate it. So we'll have to watch. Anything's possible.
There was an element of the current and most recent CRTC ruling where they specified, and I'm using layman's terms, that it wasn't user-generated content. So say, you know, Quick Dick McDick or some other independent person, some commentator, Jasmine Lane, was posting stuff on YouTube or posting stuff on, say, Spotify, okay, which is an online, as far as my definition would be, that's an online streaming service, an online streaming platform. It's foreign-owned. Yeah. We listen to podcasts using Spotify up here in Canada all the time. But they specified in one of the footnotes that you and I were chatting about, where they said it's not individuals, but it's these hosting programs. So things like YouTube, things like Spotify. My concern is that that could be interpreted as the actual places where you see these podcasts could now come under CRTC regulation, meaning that those independent journalists and those voices, those content creators, as we call them, could then now be subject to all the rules and regulations of the CRTC. Now, I could be taking it too far. I was with Sun News Network when it was shut down in 2015, so I've been burned. So maybe I'm reading too much into this. Are you at all concerned that this could work as a de facto way of not seeing independent voices or hearing more independent podcasts in Canada?
Eventually, yeah. I think the Bill C-11, the Online Streaming Act, the government insisted for the longest time when Pablo Rodriguez was Heritage Minister and others that that it didn't affect user-generated content, even though if you looked at the bill, it was right there. Mm-hmm. So some of us kept insisting, look, it's there, right? You can't. And it was very frustrating because, you know, they were just gaslighting everybody and saying it's not there. After it passed, they then actually acknowledged that it was there and created an order and counselor in the regs saying, okay, this won't apply to user-generated content. So it doesn't for now, and it only applies to streaming companies that have more than $25 million revenue in Canada. But it's in the legislation, and orders and counsel fade over time, and they can be taken away, or people can just move on. Pressure can build. Pressure can say, you know, this podcaster, that podcaster, they're out of control. Somebody has to do something about it. You know, I can remember Heidi Fry saying years ago, somebody's got to do something about the internet. People can say anything on there, right?
I remember that.
As if there was something wrong with people saying anything, right? I mean, obviously, I mean, the laws still apply and you can get sued and that sort of stuff. So it's not like it's entirely Wild West or anything like that. But I think pressure will build eventually. And I think you'll see what they'll do is they will not regulate the podcaster. They will regulate the carriers of the podcasts and do so in a way that will cause the carriers, YouTube or Spotify or whatever, to suppress certain podcasts and elevate others. That can certainly become the case with Canadian content. I mean, Joe Rogan is the most listened to podcast in Canada. That's not Canadian content. Canadian content proponents would probably like to see that change.
And it's so frustrating because in order for us to try to understand the world we live in, and in particular from the taxpayer's perspective, what the government is going to do, we need to be able to have free and open access to the media and news channels that we choose. So, for example, I listen to Ben Shapiro quite often, and he actually has quite a few insights into what's happening in Canada. And some of his takes on things like tariffs, which are just trade taxes, are spot on. He's been calling them trade taxes ever since Trump started imposing them and we started getting into this tariff war. And he's the one that hosted Alberta Premier Daniel Smith, and that entire show was put on his show. And so you get these insights. But again, I shouldn't have to be explaining my content choices and my listening preferences to the government, ergo the CRTC. My concern is exactly what you just illustrated. Sure, they may not be going after directly the content creator, right? That one person that's on YouTube that has a channel. But if they go after YouTube itself, they could be less likely to platform and host a problematic Canadian podcaster. I just see this as a direct route, as a way, a form of censorship and at least suppressing information. When's the next big hurdle? Is there something that people who are watching this show, because they're definitely interested in this, is there something they can do to kind of bend the ear and get them to move away from this?
Not at this stage, because the input period for the CRTC's latest decision closed. I mean, to be fair to them, the CRTC has spoken about how it wants to get more input from the general public into these processes and that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's never well known. It's never well advertised that, you know, if you want to speak up on the future of Canadian content right here, do this, do that. And frankly, the opposition parties aren't very good at promoting it either. They sort of stay away from that sort of thing. So it ends up being very low profile until it's not. So the next decision will be the one, it's really the one where the rubber hits the road, in terms of, because it's going to decide on the funding, and news will be involved in more funding for news organizations and the profile of Canadian content within streaming companies. That people I talk to sort of are expecting that, you know, middle of January.
Okay.
Something like that. It gets tricky because if the CRTC is not supposed to think about these things, but it's certainly aware of these things. And if they look like too much like they're beating up on the American streaming companies, Even though there's a cultural exemption in the free trade agreement with the U.S., that doesn't mean that they won't retaliate.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So if they go too far, and the Americans have been watching this very closely, and it looks like we're outsourcing all of our cultural funding to the United States and expecting them to pay for it in the same way they pay for our military protection. It's another 10% on steel. Like yep. It wouldn't be within that sort of thing. Or Trump has talked about, you know, wanting 100% tariff on movies not made in the States. Well, I don't think it's practical to do that because how you would define that. But, you know, in Alberta and Ontario and Toronto and Vancouver, for sure, and other parts of Canada, making American movies is and TV series is a big part of the industry.
It is. There's a cop show I watched that's supposedly in Boston, but it's clearly filmed in Toronto. It happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, The Last of Us was the big hit that was worth about $150 million for Alberta.
Yeah, they included a shot of the bridge here in Lethbridge that was, you know, hanging there half burnt. I wanted to wrap up with this one element then. I will point out quickly that I subscribe to the CRTC's updates, their emails of like, you know, oh, we're doing this and our decision's coming up on this and that sort of thing. I went back through my emails. It might be there, but I don't remember a big blasty email saying, everybody come tell us what you think about Canadian content. It wasn't there as far as I could see it. So to your point, it's very kind of under the radar. Only those in the know who are part of the industry, it seems, and within the mainstream media little set seem to be able to give their input to this, which is, again, raising my alarm bells. Peter, what can people do that is practical right now? Should they still voice their concerns with their member of parliament? Saying something yes. like, we want more free and easy access to the information entertainment we choose?
Yeah, excuse me. Yes. Yes, they should. Because I don't think the official opposition or the unofficial oppositions do a very good job of keeping an eye on these things. When I was living in Ottawa and working at the CRTC, I was amazed at how little people knew about what was going on there or other institutions like that. Everybody's so focused on the daily question period and that sort of stuff. They can't see the forest for the trees, and essentially. So they should be keeping their local MP aware. They should be watching for this decision coming up. They should be asking that their media keep an eye out for it too, and keep an eye on that, because practically it will make a difference. Like, I mean, there's no point in the CRTC doing anything if it's not going to make a difference, right? Because people are expecting it to make a difference. Whether it makes a good difference or a bad difference or is really the issue. It's possible it can make no difference, right? It might get cold feet on the issue and try to smooth it through so that they don't make Donald Trump any grumpier than he already is.
Yes, let's avoid that. Peter Menzies, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, that is Peter Menzies. He is the former editor of the Calgary Herald. He has been a journalist for decades, and he was the vice chair of the CRTC. And thankfully, he is keeping up on everything. Go check out his channel on X, formerly known as Twitter, and go check out his Substack. Subscribe to it if you can, because he is always talking to the newsmakers, especially when it comes to how we get information in Canada. Because remember, if you can't get access to information, you can't hold the government to account. Speaking of independent journalism, be sure to head on over to Juno News, subscribe to Juno News. They're not funded by the government, which is true journalism. Thank you so much for joining us, and be sure to share the show with people who need to know.